You've heard it before, but this parable really surprises everyone, both those who are in the story and those of us who are simply hearing the story. For Jesus tells us of a time to come, a time when he returns in glory. He says, at that point, I'm going to decide who's kept the faith. I'm going to decide who followed me and who shared the love as I do. I'm going to decide who gets invited to the heavenly party. And that division is surprisingly clear. We just heard it. The ones who are faithful are the ones who loved abundantly in agape love. The ones who reached out to meet the needs of this world, the hungry and the homeless and the lonely and the lost. The ones who included them. And the ones who are then left behind are those who, for whatever reason, just didn't. They didn't make a difference. They didn't share what they had. They didn't do anything for those in need. They didn't abundantly love. So just to review, Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you're going to love. And if you don't, then don't worry about it. So what we are understanding here, what we talked about earlier, is following and loving like Jesus is going to take us beyond our perspective, beyond what we're usually seeing in our normal lives. It's going to take us outside our comfort zones to those situations we've been taught to avoid. Those situations where we're going to interact with people who are broken and struggling and in the midst of the storms of life in need. And we are called to be out of our comfort zone and beyond our perspective to be there with them without judgment. Without judgment, to simply share love. We don't want to hear that, do we? All right, I didn't even want to preach that. You know, probably each of us can come up with a dozen reasons without thinking on why we should not reach out to those who are other than us. We made that list earlier, right? People of different religions, different political parties, different skin color, people who don't have a home, people who have physical issues, We look to avoid them, and we know. We say, well, you know, we make that judgment. They don't deserve it. You ever make that judgment? To those folks on the corner when you've stopped at that stoplight, they don't deserve it. They probably did that to themselves. We make that judgment. We say, it might be risky. I don't know what to do. I may not even have anything to do to help. And then we say, but you know what? I'm too busy taking care of the things I'm supposed to take. Have you said any of those things? Nobody. Good. I'm at a Baptist church. Well, you know, if I was at a Presbyterian church, what I would want to say is, you know what, we may have a lot of excuses, but let me quickly share. And it's going to be quick because, well, we're running late, and you're Baptist, so you know this. These are five reasons that you should put on your agenda of sharing God's love. Are you ready? We're going to go through this really fast. Number one, why should you share Jesus' love to everyone without judgment? Because Jesus commanded it. Commanded it. What was the first commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor. Commandment. Did you notice that? It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's not a, if you have time, give this a shot. Jesus said, this, I command you. And later on, because we don't get it that quickly, he told them, I give you this new commandment. Do what to one another? Love. Come on, folks. Love. Love. You know, and it goes on, because we like to pick and choose. He said, what to do to your enemy? Love. Holy mackerel. So if you all are going to truly live as one of Christ's disciples. If you really want to claim to be a Christian, you've got to start by sharing the love. So that's number one, Jesus commanded it. Number two, it's our purpose. This is what we were made for. If you remove all of your sinfulness and brokenness and you are back to your natural state, you'd just be sharing love in everything you do. The Apostle Paul said, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works." What are good works? Loving actions, right? Loving actions. We were created to share the love. So if you are going to be the person that God created you to be in the first place, you're going to do what? Share love. Exactly. So one, commanded. Two, purpose. Three, this is how we live out our witness. You know, Jesus said to us, "You're going to be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria and Roanoke and the rest of the world." Once you've experienced God's love in your life, then you're called to share the love. And Jesus says that. He says, "The new commandment I give to you," commandment once again, "is that you love one another even as I have loved you." Did Jesus love because they were all such wonderful people? Did he love because they all got it right? Did he love even with their brokenness? He loved them. And he says, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Our witness is not showing up here and having to put up with listening to me. That might be a loving act, I'm not sure. It's not joining another committee. It's not even singing God's praises. All of those are good things. But if we have not love, it's about love. But realize this, so this is number four. It also brings you joy. You know, God created us to love us, not to be miserable, not to be burdened down, not to just follow the rules or else. We've been created so that God can love us and we can love God. Jesus was clear. If you keep my commandment, what was Jesus' commandment? All right, five of you. If you keep my commandment and do these things that I've spoken to you so that my joy, Jesus' joy, might be in you and that your joy may be full. Anybody want a little more joy in their life? Amen. All right. How do we get that joy? Love. Catching on. Number five. We share God's love because we get to. We get to be part of God's redeeming plan in the world through Jesus Christ. We get an honor and a privilege and a purpose that's greater than any. It's greater than being a grandparent.
Close.
It's close. Okay. We get to. Paul, once again, he says, he knows us, right? Because he says, "Do not grow weary." We do. In well-doing, in doing good. "For in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good," love, "to all." Five reasons. Jesus commanded it. It's our purpose. It's our witness. It brings us joy. And boy, we get to. So the beauty here is, you don't have to make any decisions on who you love. You don't have to make choices. "I love you, but not you." You don't have to do that. You get to. You're commanded to. You're made to make a difference in that little box. You have one? Thank you. Oh, I get to keep. You get to make a difference and share God's love. One moment. One circumstance. One person at a time. So now what? Well, it's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, I usually come out of church and I talk about love, love, love. Get on the street and immediately somebody cuts me off. And there goes that love. So what are we supposed to do? Well, remember I said perspective is so important. Start with your own perspective. Don't look through this. Look in the mirror. Have people been invisible to you? Are there folks you've gone out of your way to avoid? Are there folks that you have judged as not worthy? The first thing maybe each one of us has to do is admit it and confess it and ask God to help us change it. So that would be the second thing. Go to God in prayer. What a gift we have. Never turned away. Pray for a compassionate heart that cares like Jesus does. Pray for eyes to start to see those marginal, those outcasts, just as Jesus does. Pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised to us, because we can't do this by ourselves. And then, as the Right Reverend Dr. Steve said, do the little things with those folks right in front of you. Start noticing those folks. And it could start right here. Start noticing those folks. And interact with kindness and respect and love. Because you know what? Whether it's that guy on the street corner or those folks in jail or whatever, they're all children of God. It was about 11 years ago I took my son to Chicago. And we were walking down a crowded street in the morning. And have you ever been to a big city on a weekday morning? You know, it's alive. Those people are moving. And there were folks rushing, pushing ahead of us, you know. But there were also folks on the side of the road sitting, and what do you think they were doing? Asking for money. Well, in this mass of humanity, my son and I were walking to, look, we're Yankees. We were walking to Dunkin' Donuts. There were no Krispy Kreme there. We're walking to Dunkin' Donuts, and we're in this mass of humanity, and there on the side is a large black man sitting asking for change, of which I had none, because I don't carry cash. I had none. And I'm not sure really what to do in that case, and I've got my son, and I'm trying to be a witness, but the best thing I can think of is I just looked at him, and I caught his eye, and I smiled, and I said, good morning, and I walked away. I walked down a little farther in this mass of humanity, and there's a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and I am face to chest with this large black man. And he chased me down, and he turned around and he said to me, thank you for treating me like I matter. When my heart stopped beating, he was gone. Justice and mercy, treating others like they matter, because they do. So where will you get started? Your pastors have put out booklets, Holy Habits. Those are available to you. I see there's still more left. Read them. Listen to what God is calling for you to do. Pray for new ways for you and your church to share God's love. Now remember, if you're going to be following Jesus and you want to draw closer, Jesus told us, where can he be found? With the least of these. And all we're asked to do is make a difference. One moment, one circumstance, one person at a time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.